You know what, Summers? I really did miss you.
Well, hello, gentle listeners. This is Melanie.
And this is Tilda.
And we're the Chosen Two. So today we'll be discussing Season 2, Episode 7, entitled Lie to Me. It had an air date of November 3rd, 1997. The director was Joss Whedon, and the writer was Joss Whedon. Tilda, a synopsis, please.
Synopsis-y?
Synopsis-nese.
Well, in this episode, one of Buffy's old friends, Billy Fordham, has transferred to Sunnydale High. As him and Buffy try to reconnect, Angel's spidey senses start tingling. Is he jealous, or does Ford have a secret? As Angel, Willow, and Xander discover Ford's lies behind Buffy's back, it turns out Angel hasn't been so honest himself.
So we begin this episode at a playground. It's nighttime. There's a little boy, and he's waiting there, and I guess his mom is late to pick him up again. And then Drusilla is going to approach. She's being creepy as ever. She starts, like, singing a song, and then says to him, what will your mommy sing when they find your body? Which I love that line so much. This scared the crap out of the kid. And the kid's like, I'm not supposed to talk to people. Which, I mean, clearly offends Drew. She starts to get mad. Okay. Well, she's not a person, is she?
No, but I love how she gets mad. But she's the first one to, like, instigate something horrible. And it's like, she gets offended. You just told the kid you're going to off him. Like, Christ.
But thankfully, Angel is there to intervene, and he tells the boy to run home. And yeah, it's clear here in this to the viewers that Angel clearly knows Drusilla. And he kind of tells her to leave Sunnydale. There's a whole bunch of, like, mystery going on in this conversation. I mean, clearly, obviously, we know the backstory.
I love a little premonition, too, of, like, Drusilla just being, like, you know, when they're talking about Buffy, they're just, she doesn't know what's in store, and there's, like, things yet to come, and I'm, like, rewatching this as somebody who's obviously finished the series so many times, I'm like, yeah, she doesn't even know.
It's just begun.
Yeah. Right?
Be back before dawn. What?
Aww. Okay.
Yes, and then we see Buffy on a roof here, and for whatever reason, she's on a roof. I don't know why she's on a roof. If there's, like, a scene that was cut, I don't know. But she's on a roof, and she spies Angel and Drew talking. Buffy's like, what the fuck? Who dat? What's happening? Who's this chick?
I love, I thought of that too, first of all, and I was like, most of the time, like, she's Batman. I'm convinced now that she's just like, it's like you patrol the cemetery, but, you know, you gotta check for vampires everywhere. They could be on your roof.
Or to, like, get, like, an aerial view, I guess.
Oh, yeah, true. That's actually a much, much better explanation.
Christ, I'm thinking,
just
like...
Just in case they're on the roof.
Yeah, just, you know, having a smoke or something, and Buffy's like, fuck you. Stab, yeah. Stab.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
It's okay. It's all right.
That whole thing was just, and Drusilla doing her little, like, she did this movement to, like, whisper in Angel's ears before she left.
Like, they're kissing.
Kissing,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
She knew.
Sexual tension.
I've never understood Drusilla's power. She has this, like, weird ability to, like, see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's, like, a seer, but then you're, like, what do you really see? Because you can kind of tell the future-ish, but not really, but you also knew that Buffy was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you did that motion with, like, the kissing look to make her jealous. Like,
I don't know. Did she know that she was there?
That's what I always assumed. I always assumed that she did that, like, side-to-side thing to, like, make it look like they were making out, and, like, she went to, like, the one ear then the other ear because of the angle, because, like, to Buffy it looks like,
yeah,
they're kissing. So I almost assumed that she, with her abilities, kind of knew she was going to be around or something like that and did it on purpose.
What a conniving little fuck.
I thought I mean, maybe it is coincidental and they wrote it that way for, it's like, that's how she talks because she's weird, and then
she is,
you know, it just looked bad.
She
but
does like to invade space. Yeah,
but if she didn't have the powers that she did, I wouldn't assume otherwise, but because she has that weird ability to see stuff, I was like, maybe she just knew she was going to be there.
I guess she does not only see the future, but she does see, like, what's currently happening.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I never really thought about it that way.
Yeah. Wow. I just assumed without thinking otherwise. I don't know.
What a little bitch. Yeah.
So it's the next day. We're at Sunnydale, and we see Giles and Jenny. They're discussing an upcoming date. And Jenny is keeping the plans for the date a surprise. It's a very flirty, flirt, cute scene.
Mm.
And then Buffy approaches. She's looking very glum. And then, like, literally 2 seconds later, like, I wrote, like, I swear to God, before he says that she looks glum, I wrote glum.
I believe you.
I don't know. I just know these episodes really well, apparently. and Giles suggests that she takes the night off. Which, I mean, that's very...
Shocking.
Un-Giles fashion.
Un-Giles, yeah.
But apparently she looks sad then.
The lack of speeches that he gives in this episode that I expected him to give was astounding. There's like another scene, we'll get to it when we get to it, but like where I'm like, you're not gonna say anything?
Well, he did promise. Didn't he promise a couple episodes ago like he's gonna like stop doing that? So maybe he's just keeping his promise. So we're in the classroom now, and Willow and Buffy are passing notes between each other. And it made me, like, very nostalgic. I used to love passing notes. Me and my friend Alona used to pass notes all the time in high school. It was great. I wonder what those notes are, though. I wonder if I kept them.
Ooh, maybe somewhere I can dig them up.
I know. Just the stupid things we're saying to each other. Oh, I miss that. When your issues were just, like, so trivial and, like, easy.
Yeah, but then you're going to, like, read them and be like, oh, cringe.
Yeah, that's true.
Cringe at how I wrote this.
Like, why did I say that? Ooh. My brain's not fully developed yet. But yes, there are Willow and Buffy's notes are all about last night discussing who the chick Angel was talking to was. Buffy thinks that she's pretty, which I mean, I think, I don't know, she's pretty, but I know your feelings on Drusilla.
No hate to the actress, but yeah, just not, I mean, I mentioned this in another episode, just not, how striking as everybody seems to describe her. It's not that she's not pretty.
Yeah, I mean, yes, compared to, like, I don't know, Sarah Michelle Gellar and, like, Charisma Carpenter, I don't know how striking Juliet is. Yeah. Juliet's pretty.
She's pretty. She's very pretty. But, like, I think I'm also not even just, like, outside of the show. I think I'm just used to what vampire, I feel like vampires, you know what I mean? Like watching all the movies, like, Queen of the Damned and, like, all these things and... like Vampire Diaries and yeah, like there's, I mean, aside from like Bella, who's like also like a plain pretty, but like I guess I'm just used to a certain look or aesthetic, and I don't know why Juliet Lindo just doesn't, because I think it's between that and the facial features and like just the features of her, but combined with the fact that she's in, which I mentioned before, like a child's dress all the time.
Yes, and I think the voice gets to you
as everything. Well. It's just the combination of the look that they made her have. I think there was more potential there to make her look like a little bit more covetable vampire, but like at the same time, I mean, that's her whole character, so anyways, I can go on forever.
All right, well, during this class scene, Cordelia is having one of her classic debates about Marie Antoinette, and I'm just always a big fan of how active and engaged she is in class and class discussions, even if her opinion is a little unconventional. You know, she's defending Marie Antoinette, which, hey, we don't know what the fuck happened. Just saying.
History
is just, I don't know.
She was literally the last queen in France before the French Revolution happened. And they executed her because she was spending too much money on lavish things because the economy was crashing and financially the country was in shit. So, of course, Cordelia, who loves to spend money, was like, oh, she was in the right. Nobody was oppressed. She didn't cause poverty. Yes, she did.
All right. Well, let's hear a classic line from Cordelia in this little debate happening here.
And I know the peasants were all depressed.
I think you mean oppressed.
Whatever. They were cranky. So they're like, let's lose some heads. That's fair. And Marie Antoinette cared about them. She was going to let them have cake.
So in the hallway after class, Willow and Buffy are still discussing the mystery guy, or mystery girl, sorry, in the notes. Mystery guy. Here I'm thinking of Angel. And Xander prods a little bit to be like, oh, what girl? And Willow explains, you know, Angel and a girl. And, you know, Buffy's upset, obviously, that she didn't want to share that information. But Xander seems very happy at any chance to vilify Angel for, you know, being the little shit that he is, or that he thinks he is.
Oh, for sure. And Xander also suggests, like, maybe to cheer her up, they all go to the Bronze tonight. And just that, like, just like that, a mystery fella approaches from behind. Oh, it's Buffy knows him. It's Ford. They hug. Apparently got transferred to Sunnydale from her old high school. And we learn a lot in this little situation here. He was her fifth grade crush. His full name's Billy Fordham. She moped over him for months.
Yeah, he was a manly sixth grader. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a really shitty orange sweater that I really didn't like.
Just puts that in there.
Because it was a sweater vest and it was gross. Come on, he's a good-looking guy with an earring. This is what you're wearing on your first day of school. Anyways, continue.
I love it. We learned so much about him. He's wearing a shitty-ass orange sweater.
She used to mope over him listening to the song I Touch Myself by the Divinyls.
Oh my god, that's so, like, just the awkwardness in that. And, yeah. And she's like, I didn't know what it was about, though. Mm.
I love it because, like, 5 minutes later, Willow's like, that's what that song is about?
I know. She gets it finally. Masturbation. I said that just as you drank.
Yeah, why did you... You had to say yell masturbation just as I'm taking a sip.
Masturbation.
I can't take a sip now. I'm laughing.
I'm sorry.
I'm mature.
And then Buffy invites Ford to the Bronze, and he asks, like, you know, if he would be... What does he say? If he'd be imposing or whatever? And my one of my favorite lines, not my favorite line, but one of my favorite lines is when Xander said, wait, can we like add it? Because we'll just add the whole interaction right here. Yeah. Okay.
I'd love to. But if you guys already had plans, would I be imposing?
No, only in the literal sense.
Okay, then.
So we do have a 5x5 about the character of Billy Fordham. In real life, he is played by the actor Jason Bear, and he will later reunite with Sarah to star in The Grudge together, which is just a little 5x5 fact.
He was in The Grudge?
Yeah, he's our love interest in The Grudge.
Oh my god, I saw that movie so long ago.
I know, I have so many spoilers for it, but it doesn't end well. Go watch The Grudge, guys. I remember like when it came out, I was like still like so obsessed with like Sarah Michelle Gellar. And, like, we had a dial-up modem, and, like, there was, like, the premiere thing, and you could go on, like, the internet and, like, type in questions to ask, like, her and Jason. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was, like, just on there just typing question after question, like, sending them, like, hoping that she would, like, answer one of my questions. She never did, but... Dial-up modems.
That was the...
Just off and, like, looking in the air.
Yeah.
Dial-up modems.
No, because that's what I expected the lesson or whatever the conclusion to that thought to be was
sometimes,
dial-up modems.
Sometimes you hope for things and nothing happens. And because of dial-up modems. Sometimes I tell a story and it goes nowhere. So, just lesson learned, guys. Lesson learned. So now we're at the Bronze. The gang is playing pool, and Ford is spilling secrets from Buffy's early years. And then Buffy goes to the bar to get a drink and runs into Angel. And Buffy asks Angel what he did last night. And he just fucking straight up lies to her. Lies!
Angel, no!
Don't lie. He said he stayed home and read. No, you did not. You did not stay home and read. And then Buffy just, like, fucking walks away. She just, like, doesn't even respond. She's like, you know what? Just walks away. And Angel kind of, like, follows. And then Buffy introduces him to Ford. And we got the whole, like, they shake hands. Like, whoa, cold hands. And Sandra's like, you're not wrong. Because Angel's a vampire. Get it? And then Buffy's going to ask Ford to go for a walk. And just freaking leave Angel there. Angel is clearly very suspicious and a little bit jealous. And then Willow is going to ask Angel if he wants to play pool. But Angel's just going to fucking disappear.
Just like, vanish.
Yeah, like, really got to put bells around that guy's neck. He's just out of there. And Willow's very sad. That's really cute. And Xander could not care less.
I mean, I wish Angel played pool with them. Come on. The least you could do is get to know your girl's friends.
Let's see that scene. Let's see the scene of just... Oh, I guess, actually, throughout this episode, we do get to see a lot of, like, Xander and Willow and, like, Angel interacting, though.
That's true.
They go on a whole
like,
investigation together.
I know, but, like, not... You know, Buffy says it all the time. He only shows up when it's work-related. Just, like, you know, take a load off.
Yeah, play
some pool. Wear one of your button-up shirts and, you know, play some pool. Like, I don't know.
Not the velvet one, though. but I feel like Angel would be really good at pool.
Probably, yeah.
Probably, like, really good.
I mean, he's had centuries to perfect it. So.
And also, like, I feel like he has like these skills, like not aerodynamic, like
coordination.
Yeah, I feel like vampires have good coordination.
What is your backup with data here?
I guess they always throw things.
Yeah,
and they always
and
know kung fu, and they're always able to fight Buffy and like do crazy shit.
That's true.
I feel like he could take that stick and knock some balls.
Masturbation. Yeah. So. I was about to make a joke about, yeah, you're right, Angel's probably good at knocking balls, but you really just laid it out all out
I'm
for us.
I'm going to keep saying masturbation throughout this whole podcast.
Every time you say it, I'm going to start singing, I want you to love me.
Wait, yeah. I don't know the words.
And I touch myself. And I think about you. I touch myself.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay, we got it.
That's the really shitty cover of the song,
no,
guys.
No, we're going to have to pay them now. Oh, if anybody hears this, we're going to have to pay, like,
do they take gold doubloons?
Do they take Pokemon cards?
Oh, I got plenty of those.
Plenty of those. So Buffy and Ford are out for their little walk, and then Buffy hears a fight happening, and obviously she needs to get rid of Ford, so she says she left her purse at the Bronze and tells them to run and get it. So Ford's running to get it and then realizes something is up. So he turns around and follows Buffy. He sees Buffy fighting and slaying a vamp. And then Buffy, as usual, is just great on her feet. And she's trying to cover, and she's claiming that two cats were fighting each other. just blabbering on about two cats, and like they ran away. You can't think on your feet for like an excuse, but she can do like, I don't know, but she's really quick with other ways. Mm-hmm. But she always, her excuses are like her reasonings, and like
there was two cats, it was a cat, and then another cat, bad. And they
ran away. Okay. And then Ford's like, he just lets her know, like, oh, no, I just thought you were slaying a vampire because you're the slayer. And lets her know that he knows that she's the slayer.
Dun, dun, dun.
He knows that she knows it. He knows that she knows that she's the slayer.
Yeah, but see, this is where, like, the bells don't start ringing because, okay, well, first of all, I love how in the episode, or when that happened, you could clearly hear a big growl, and, like, Buffy hears it before just doesn't. Like, apparently.
Yeah, it's a cat.
Yeah, no, yeah, and then just nothing. And then my other thing with this is, like, because there's a girl that ran away, right, the one that she saved.
Yeah.
And she's, like, whimpering and, like, kind of crying or whatever. And you can hear that, but I'm going, does nobody in this show, like, help, like, fucking somebody help me. Like, there's never, like, a scream. No, but, like, you know what I mean? You're literally fearing for your life from, like, this monster weird-looking thing that you've never seen before. And usually it's, like, and, like, okay, I get you're scared, but, like, nobody so far that I've seen them, like, find a girl or somebody in an alleyway has, like, screamed for, like, assistance. And I'm, like, does anybody, like, you know?
I don't know. Honestly, like, I always think about, like, what I would do in situations where I've been, like, scared. I'm not gonna lie. I've definitely, like, just, like, fell to the floor kind of situation where mm-hmm. I'm, like, I think that I'd be a fighter, but I'm more of, like, a cower, and I just go into, like,
coward?
I go into, like, shock, and, like, I don't know, I freeze. So I feel like they're just, like, giving examples, apparently, of anybody in Sunnydale. Apparently, just, like, people that freeze and...
That's fair. No, don't get me wrong. That's a fully valid
but
response. Just find
there is people out there that like definitely would be like, fuck out! Yeah. It's a vampire!
No, just to like get themselves out of the situation because I was thinking about it and I was like, wait a second. I can't actually think of like a situation in many like alleyways or things that she's overheard mm-hmm. where I'm hearing somebody like just yell for help. Like, you know, just something to like your last survival instinct of like, you know, like there might be people around. The Bronze is like around the corner. Maybe somebody will hear me.
Maybe like, this is why they like Sunnydale so much, because it's just like, it's great pickings, because no one really fights back or yells.
Okay, the Hellmouth mutes people.
Okay. Kind of like, it hushes
the show. I was going to say, yeah. Like, I was going to say, like, the gentleman kind of, like, that was, like, their first, like.
It hushes them.
Okay. Masturbation.
Masturbation. I don't know, you were whispering it earlier, so I had to.
So now we flash to Ford. He's walking in an alleyway. He knocks on a door. And the door has one of those little, like, cool little things. Like, the window comes open. You can, like, peek to see who's there. And, like, I feel like, I don't know. We see these doors a lot in, like, movies. You know, like, the little, like, who's there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just watched Lord of the Rings. And they have one of those doors in Lord of the Rings. Maybe, like, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways. And Ford enters. And it seems to be, like, an underground club. And it's kind of clear that the theme is, like, vampire-centric or vamp-centric. People are dressed very gothic and vampire-y. There's capes and shit. And then Ford is talking to this dork in a blue cape about, like, some mysterious plan. We learn this guy's name is Marvin, or I call him Marvin Diego. And then we see Ford is popping some pills. And yes, in the background there is a vampire movie playing, a Dracula movie, I should say. It's the Dracula movie from 1974.
Yep.
Ford is just mouthing the words to this movie because clearly he's just as obsessed as everyone else. He knows the words really well, and I see this movie a lot. It's a good shot. I like it.
It's a good, yeah, and it's a, I like that they added this element to just the series as a whole, is like the people that do like love and worship vampires and like see them as like, no, like, they're actually nice. Like, they're the characters that we see in, like, the movies. And mm-hmm. they don't want to actually hurt you. Like, I mean, Dracula was out to hurt, yeah. But, you know, in general.
Because
you have, like, the whole friendly vampire bit. I don't know if I ever told you the story, too, when I used to be like this.
You used to be a vampire worshipper?
No. But I did have that moment in, like, it was too late in my life for me to be proud of this. It was, like, in, like, high school. But, like, early high school still.
Mm-hmm.
Where I wondered if it was like real. Like I was getting really into the supernatural, everything supernatural. And I was like, I wonder. So like I joined like a vampire chat room. Like, oh, wow. Yeah, it was like this like fully like this insane website where like everybody thought they were. But like it was one of those like you couldn't even ask questions of like what makes you think you are, like what do you do? Like, because I think I watched one of those like not documentaries, but you know those like is it real kind of like Ripley's Believe It or Not-esque kind of things where like this there was this guy in some state who was like kidnapping people and like taking their blood out with a needle and then drinking the blood because he was a vampire and he just survived off blood. So I was like, I wonder if it's like a real thing, but like not in the way that we perceive it, like people that do need to survive off blood, whatever. I went to this wow. rabbit hole on the All internet right. okay
yeah
and I still like it was so weird because I think I wanted to give into it more and be one of those people that was like, this is my thing. But I just everybody just sounded so crazy to me when I was talking to them in the chat room. Like there was no like I'd even be like, yeah, like whatever. It's like, no, but if you're not a believer, you can't be here. And I was like, I never said I didn't believe. Like, you know, I was believe. Like, yeah. And but no, like the people there weren't like people that discussed that vampires are real. It was a vampire chat room for people that were like, I'm putting in air quotes, that are vampires. Like, they spoke in that person of, like, I'm a vampire. And they discussed things about being a vampire. And I'm like, okay, never mind. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I thought, like, it would be cool to, like, talk to people that may believe that the lore is real. And, like, I wonder where we can find them and whatever. No. These people were like, I'm a vampire. I drink blood all day, every day. I hate wow. the sun. I don't leave my room. I'm like, okay. Like, I don't know. It was super serious.
I have a niece that's a vampire. Boom, boom. Lorelai.
Oh, really? Oh, because she doesn't leave her room?
She doesn't. She only wakes up at night, and she never leaves her room, so.
Why did I think you were talking about Arya? No, Arya. I'm sorry, because I don't know Lorelai as well, but, like.
They both could be vampires. Oh, man.
Yeah.
My family of vampires and vampire hunters.
That's my family. And your house is haunted, and, you know, oh, yeah. like, you've got lots of supernatural connections here. You, like actual ones.
Oh, we should have just met when we were younger, and I could have intrigued you, you know?
A little bit. I would have actually, honestly, it would have intrigued me, and then I would have been probably convinced that I am a vampire somehow.
Oh, yeah?
Probably. I don't know. Listen, I was at school in these chat rooms, too, okay? I was using, like, the library. And, like, it'd be, like, everybody else around me was, like, studying, and I was in, like, this vampire chat room with people being, like, I can't have garlic. It makes me sick. Like, I'm like, all right, cool. But that lasted for, like, a week, mind you.
Dennis is, like, an allergy to garlic, and he's like, oh, well, clearly I'm a vampire.
Yeah, probably, though. Like, and I'm assuming it's another bunch of, like, teenagers like me, but, like, you never know. I'm sure there's people that were, like, 80 on there just being, like, I'm a vampire.
There was also, like, an entire episode and, like, a lot of, like, arcs on South Park involving, like, vampire kids, which I love so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was definitely a thing. It was a phase for people.
I think goth and punk people so badly wanted to be, like, one with the dark. Like, they actually did believe that, like, vampires were lost souls and, like, not evil or, mm-hmm. like, evil but not kind of thing. And so I do think that there was that like, phase of people when we went, like, punk rock emo where we also wanted to be, like, the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to secretly have, like, a werewolf. Like,
I love how you're saying we. We wanted to be the darkness.
Yeah. Hey, I had the red streak in my hair. I was the darkness, okay?
You were the darkness.
Yeah. I had a whole, like, goth emo. Like, it's not a phase, Mom. I still have it. I still listen to Evanescence on repeat, okay?
I mean, your hair is purple.
Oh, yeah, guys. My hair is... I'll post a selfie to the Chosen 2. Group chat. I've already gotten all the jokes. People calling me Grimace. People calling me Barney.
Grimace
from McDonald's. Yeah, I'm gonna team up with the Hamburglar and steal
You're
things.
Wearing green pants.
Today. I am. I'm wearing bright green sweatpants, and I definitely look like Barney the dinosaur right now,
oh my God.
Like less pedophilic.
Like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, and somebody else called me the Hulk. The Hulk shorts. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, it's okay. No, best thing possible. Please poke fun at my purple hair. So now we have Angel, who shows up at Willow's back door, like the door that leads into her room. And Willow obviously goes, I can't have boys in my room. But she still makes the big mistake of inviting him inside. And Angel wants her to do some snooping and spying for him.
Yes, and Willow is ready for bed. She's in her nightgown. And she's wearing a full face of makeup, including red lipstick, which just I always just find absolutely absurd.
You don't go to sleep like that?
Obviously I do. I make sure to put on the red lipstick right before I fall asleep. Just to give my pillows, my blanket, just a little extra flair as I sleep, you know? Like a little extra color.
But no, I just figured that's how you, like, if you want to look like that in your dreams, you gotta wear the full face of makeup to look like that in your dreams.
That's not how it works. Obviously, that's how in I my dreams, I put on a makeup in my dreams and then I go out.
That's imagine, just absurd.
Imagine you just have to, like, get ready for, like, your dream. So you just have to, like, put an outfit, put your makeup on, and then go out
listen
for your dream.
With, like, the AIAR whatever nonsense we're getting to that point where you just have to, like, put something on in real life and then, like, tie yourself to a computer and then that's how you live.
Oh, I would love that. Just like, put avatars. Yourself in an Oculus and just, like, go and just do crazy things. I would love that. But
masturbation.
Yes. Masturbation. I would love that. Masturbation.
Okay. Okay, sorry, continue.
Okay. So yes, Angel wants Willow to look use her handy in a computer and look up some stuff on Ford. And Willow suggests that maybe he's jealous. And he agrees that he might be, but Angel has a very good quote here that just like is such an Angel freaking line. So why don't we hear it?
Are you gonna tell me that I'm jealous?
Well, you do sometimes get that way.
You know, I never used to. Things used to be pretty simple. 100 years, just hanging out, feeling guilty. I really honed my brooding skills. Then she comes along. Yeah, I get jealous. But I know people, and my gut tells me this is a wrong guy.
Angel might be a little bit jealous, but he does have good instincts, and he thinks there's something weird going on with Ford. And Willow immediately finds that there is something weird going on with Ford. He's not in any of the school records. And Angel asks Willow to continue to investigate and to not tell Buffy what they're doing. More lies.
He's asking Willow to lie? That's bold.
I know, but hey, she's gonna freaking do it, isn't she?
Yeah, poorly, I might add.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't tell her, so...
That's fair, actually, yeah.
She successfully does evade the truth. So it's the next day at school, and Willow bumps into Buffy, which is clearly something she was trying to avoid. And Willow is just becomes a babbling Ako Taco, words are hard. And Ford is with Buffy. I don't know, Willow is just not great at lying. And I don't know, she gives off this like god-awful laugh and then just kind of like scurries away. And then Giles is going to approach and give Buffy Jenny's contact info in case she needs them while they're off on this like secret surprise date thing. And kind of says, you know, in case you need me for like study stuff, but actually he means obviously Slayer stuff. And then this gives Buffy the opportunity to tell Giles that Ford knows that she is the Slayer.
He seems pretty cool about it. That's the thing. So, like, he moves aside from her first, like, obviously, without knowing. And just, what did he say? He said, you're not by any chance giving up your secret identity to impress, you know, cute boys, mm-hmm. are you? And she's like, no, he knew before I got kicked out, sort of thing. But this is my second instance of, like, lack of, like, he doesn't get that sus vibe or, like, lack of speech of, like, wait, like, how did he know?
Like, how could he possibly know?
Like, yeah. Like, I'm sure, like, because Giles knows a story about the old school and stuff like that. But, like, what did he say how he found out? Or, like, it's just funny that he transferred here and happens to also know your secret, but transfers to, like, Sunnydale of all places, which is a small town compared to L.A. Mm-hmm. So, like, he said his dad moved here for work. But, like, do you know what I mean? So I sat there and I was like... Lack of, you know, it's actually an L on Giles's part, because I figured he would just be a little bit more sketched out.
Mm-hmm.
But he just accepted it for what it was.
The only person who has Spidey sense in this episode is Angel, apparently, because everyone else is just like going with it. Like, okay, yeah, Ford, cool. Yeah. He's part of the gang now.
I mean, fair enough that like they knew when, like, Willow and Xander know when it's fine. And fair enough that, like, I'm sure when she was at Hemery, like, somebody must have known or noticed. Like, how do you not notice that? The same way in, like, fast forward to season 3 where they notice the things that Buffy does enough to give her the class protector award. Like, she's not invisible. They know what's going on, but it's like, you happened to transfer here, your dad happened to come here, you gave no forewarning, you didn't like text Buffy going, hey, you used to live in Sunnydale. Not text, shit.
I was gonna say, there's no shit. Texting back then.
Yeah, no, sorry, you didn't dial up web, internet, AOL, chat her to, to say...
Page her,
beat her.
Go in the phone book and find her number, yeah, would probably be
anything. Good. And I don't know, like, she knows there's the one high school, I don't know. Anyways, the whole thing is, like, Giles, to me, knows better than that, and his, like, alarm bells aren't going off, or to even be like, did you, like, to be like, Buffy, like, listen to Buffy, be careful with people knowing your secret, because... With the Owen thing, Buffy made the whole thing about, like, it endangers him. People that don't know her secret or know her secret but aren't fazed by it are in danger. Mm-hmm. She only lets Willow and Xander get away with it because she's like, you guys know and you're careful. Mm-hmm. Whereas Ford just says he knows this thing, and like, no speech to Ford either of like, you could listen, you say you know this thing, but there's actually lots of vampires, like, stay home at night. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking know. Like, anyways, yeah. Sorry. So much missing, but go on.
So Buffy and Ford are out for a walk, bitch. Again. It's nighttime, and then they see that two vamps are kind of wandering around the school campus. Buffy and Ford are going to follow them, and Buffy gets attacked and separated from Ford. And Ford uses this moment to threaten the bleach blonde vamp into answering some questions. And if she does, he'll let her live. Then Buffy kind of slays her vamp, runs back to Ford. And then Ford claims that he dusted the bleach blonde vamp.
Lie. Another lie?
Oh, so many freaking shocked
and appalled.
It's Fordham. It's almost like this episode's called Lie to Me.
What do you mean?
What?
Yeah, and I love this because what? Did they, like, stay super late after school, or did they just, like, walk all the way back around to the school?
I think they walked, because she's like, we're back at the campus. So yeah. I think they just, like, walked all through town and then ended up back at the school campus. But yeah, they laid their walks.
Yeah, they clearly do, yeah.
That's... Just like Spike, man. Just like Spike. So now we're with Xander, Willow, and Angel. They're checking out an address that Willow found that connects to Ford in some way. And it's the underground club. Angel knocks on the door and says they're friends of Ford's. And they kind of go downstairs into this club. And Chanterelle, one of the...
Mushrooms?
One of the mushrooms. One of the female obsessies approaches them to welcome them. She believes vampires aren't interested in harming anyone. They who walk in the night, as she calls them. And then Angel just immediately calls her a fool, which is so mean. Like, you're a fool.
I know, but she's right.
It's true. She's wrong, and she is being foolish. And he has a wonderful quote here that has a very visual component. But let's take a listen, guys.
I've seen this type before. When they're children making up bedtime stories of friendly vampires that comfort themselves in the dark.
Is that so bad?
These people don't know anything about vampires. What they are, how they live, how they dress.
So Angel has this big speech here, and just as he's saying this, a dude enters dressed in the exact same outfit as Angel. Awkward silence. Very, very funny. So I have another 5x5. So Chanterelle, the mushroom lady... is the same character that Buffy meets later in season 3, the episode Anne. But in this episode, she's changed her name and she's going by Lily. And then by the end of that episode, she takes on Buffy's fake persona and steals the name Anne. And then goes on to the series Angel, where she still is Anne. And she has now opened a homeless shelter for teens. She has a cute little arc on the Angel series. And she's doing... much better, which is great. I don't know, it's cute that they kind of did that whole arc for this random character.
Yeah, but it was nice. It was a powerful arc. It was like a nice, like,
and we never get to learn her real name.
So Buffy walks into the library with Giles and Jenny. I guess she beeped Giles and said it's something serious that came up, and Giles was thankful. It turns out Jenny took him to go see monster trucks on this mystery date, which is a very Giles place to go.
Absolutely.
Wearing his tweed jacket, like, 100%. And she explains that they were out with Billy, everything that happened with the vampires, and that Billy went home, but he did...
Wait, let me call him Billy. I call him Ford.
I know, but I'm going to... Because my notes is Billy.
I was like, who the fuck is Billy?
Billy! Billy. You don't know Billy?
Billy.
Billy.
Of course, Billy.
Billy Fordham. Billy, so Ford.
Billy Black.
I'm going to back on that, I swear to God.
This is always going back to Twilight.
Oh, God.
Okay, continue. With Billy Black? What is this Billy person doing?
It's Ford. Billy Black. Ford. sorry.
Oh, my God.
So Buffy mentions that, like, you know, he went home, but he did bag a vamp his first time out, because, mm-hmm. referencing back.
And during this, Buffy sees a picture of Drusilla on the table. It's in one of Giles' research books. She asks, like, who's this chick? Giles explains that it's Drusilla, one of Spike's
paramours.
Yes, I like that word. And that she was killed by a mob in Prague. And Buffy tells Giles she ain't dead at all. She saw her with Angel. Dun, dun, dun. So Library Giles is walking towards his office when Bleach Blonde Vamp comes running out, knocking Buffy and Giles down. And you can see that she's stealing a book. Buffy realizes that the Bleach Blonde Vamp was the one Ford claimed he dusted. Lies.
Lies. Now the sus is coming up. Now her spidey sense is like mildly tingling.
Just like with masturbation?
Yeah, with masturbation. Yeah.
Tingle.
I mean, she did have tingles for him. Now it's just enhanced, you know?
Tingles.
And like rewatching this tiniest bit of foreshadowing here because when they are talking about Drusilla and she said like, oh, this girl's very much alive. I saw her with Angel. Jenny prods and goes, isn't Angel supposed to be a good guy? Mm-hmm. And like, seems like a harmless question. But as we know, Jenny's connections to Angel.
Oh.
Yeah, right. So she's prodding now, right? She's trying to like get into the inner circle, ask questions because, you know, how's she going to get information on what he's like?
Or even plant the seeds of like, plant maybe he's not a good guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, her asking is like.
Didn't even think of that. Yeah. I always just like don't even like think about like Jenny's past because that whole thing was just weird. So
I feel like it was weird, but it also happened very quickly. Yeah, it was like very happens like, yeah, it's not like it like built fully over the seasons, but I feel like because it is this season, it's like slowly trying to like, you know what I mean? Just like, oh, isn't he supposed to be a good guy? Like, yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, oh shit, you're trying.
So now we're at the factory and Drusilla is talking to her dead bird. Asking it why it doesn't sing to her anymore. Just, you know, just being Drusilla. And Spike is upset that she went out on a hunt alone the other night and that she spoke to Angel. And Spike quickly snaps at Drew and she just starts to whimper. And I wrote, like, bet Tilda loves this.
Yeah, super, super adult-like. Yeah.
I hate it. Yeah, it's great. Okay, at this point here, I think that Spike is sucking, like, Drew's finger. And then Ford,
like, it gets cringier and cringier, their whole relationship. I'm sorry. I love Spike, but, like, come the fuck on. I can't. Yeah. It's funny because people do this in real life in the bedroom, but, like, come on. Like, she's 9. Just gross. Sorry. I'm ruining the illusion for you, but, like.
No, there's no illusion for me. Maybe someone out there, though, was like, oh. I love Spike and Drew.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Sorry, Juliet Lando, if you ever come across this, I'm so sorry, and I love you as an actress. Just,
you are great at acting.
Oh, amazing.
So now Ford is going to arrive, and so is the Bleach Blonde Vamp. And, like, the Bleach Blonde Vamp, like, literally purrs as she gives Spike the book, which I don't know if anybody notices this, but I swear to God, like, go back and, like, watch it and listen. Like, she gives a little purr as she hands Spike the book. But, yes, Ford wants to make a deal. This whole scene, Ford is clearly, like, not even scared. He's kind of finding the whole thing amusing.
Watch too many movies.
Yeah, for sure. And he explains that he wants to become a vampire, and he wants to trade Buffy for this reward, this, you know.
Eternal life.
Yeah. That's nice. Wants to trade a human being for his own life.
Oh. When he gets annoying and Spike like turns around to Drew and goes, can I eat him now, love? She has this like slow, like I don't, it's not really noticeable, but she says like no. But like, it's like an are you stupid kind of no. And it's like, well, his request is kind of reasonable. He just wants to eat this human that came in there.
I know, but clearly she is seeing something. The Slayer is going to be vulnerable again.
Oh my God.
But when the Slayer is vulnerable, you still lose, so whatever. So we're at the Summers residence. Angel pays Buffy a visit and he asks if he can come in. And she says, once you've been invited, you can always just walk in. And he's like, yeah, I'm just being polite or whatever. But it just always like that kind of stopped me for a moment. I'm like, of course Angel knows that he can come in. Like he's a vampire. Like he's aware of the rules of being a vampire. And then I realized they probably did this because earlier he made it a point of being invited in by Willow, like, this is her first time being in Willow's place, and, like, you have to invite me in. And she says, oh, okay, like, come in, kind of thing. So I think it's just, like, establishing the rules of, like, oh, okay, like, once you've been invited in, you can always come in.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a very, like, so it's just a bunch of, like, a little bit of exposition to kind of establish the rules of vampiracy, that once you're invited in, you can always come in, because we need to, like, say that, right? So I get it. It's fine. Then Angel tells Buffy about what's going on with Ford and that he had Willow and Xander help without her knowledge and investigate Ford. And Buffy is going to confront Angel about Drusilla. And then Angel, very like just bluntly here, asks Buffy if she loves him.
Yeah, I like that.
And she tells him that she does.
But she does say, I love you. I don't know if I trust you.
Yes. Very good. Very intense. And then Angel is going to tell Buffy the story of Drusilla and that he was obsessed with her. She was pure and sweet and he drove her insane. He killed everyone she loved. And then she fled to a convent. And on the day that she took her holy orders, he made her a demon.
Man, I tell you.
Yeah. So one really bad thing that Angel or Angelus did. And then at the end, Angel warns Buffy that she can't trust Ford. I love how, like, tells this terrible story, and then it's like, but you can't trust Ford. Trust me, but don't trust Ford.
Yeah, I mean, well, she does say, like, oh, I asked for the truth, but there's no, like, he doesn't seem like the type to, like, follow up and be like, let's talk about this. Are you okay?
Do you still love me?
Yeah. Well, and it's also frustrating. Well, not frustrating because I know he's a good guy now, but like one of the things that he went after Drew for is like she's chased too and like all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like this innocent virgin kind of. And it was like, oh no, like Buffy's also a young, innocent chase girl for the time being. It's, oh my God, my eye. Sorry, oh my God, I was playing with my eye and my eyes stuck together.
Why are you just like poking your fucking eyes?
Okay,
in front of
just because you hate eyes. Okay, sorry. Oh my God, it's just your scene, but for some reason, like my eyelashes got stuck together and I got scared.
Scared, like I'd be like that forever.
So then freak me out. I had never happened before. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I was trying to talk about the serious thing and like I shouldn't have played with my eye, but whatever.
So the next day at school, Ford approaches Buffy and invites her out for the night. It's going to be a surprise and a lot of fun. Okay. And then Buffy goes into the school and runs into Willow and Xander, who are clearly still feeling guilty that they had to lie to Buffy. And now Buffy knows everything. And Buffy is still a little bit hurt here and tells them she will find out what Ford is up to.
I love this because when they were talking on the steps, Willow mentioned that Angel was in her room to talk about Ford. And after Buffy leaves, Xander's like, wait, Angel was in your bedroom? And she's immediately goes, ours is a forbidden love.
Without skipping a beat, too.
Yeah. I love those quick quips. Xander has them this episode and then like Willow, too. It's great.
So at the Underground Club, Ford is there and everyone is excited for tonight. Marvin Diego asks Ford if his friends are coming. Ford is annoyed he wasn't told sooner about them, but Ford assures them everything will be fine. Buffy arrives. She followed him there. Buffy's angry. She calls him a lying scumbag.
As he was.
It's a whole big dramatic thing. Ford also tells her that he's gonna become a vampire. And she quickly realizes that Ford offered to trade her to Spike in exchange for making him a vampire. All these scenes, Ford is just very amused by the situation that's unfolding. And it turns out this was his plan all along. Marvin Diego closes the big-ass door, and Ford explains it was rigged to be opened from the outside. So they're all trapped, and the vamps are coming at sundown, supposedly change them all into vampires.
Quote unquote.
But actually, they're all coming to kill the people and just change Ford into a vampire. And kill poor Buffy.
And as she puts it, they're going to come at sundown to pick out of the all-you-can-eat moron bar.
Yeah, that made me laugh. That was a great laugh.
That's, yeah.
But Ruffy's going to...
Ruffy?
Oh, wow.
Oh, that was great. What's Ruffy gonna roo?
I don't...
Okay. What, Scoob?
Scooberdoo. Okay, no, it's bad. Rooberdoo. No. So Buffy's running around frantic trying to find a way out, especially for everyone else. She knows they're all gonna die. And she's laughing at my Ruffy.
I continue. I'm sorry. Yeah, she don't. I'm laughing at the worst part too. Yeah, she knows they're all gonna die. Continue.
Mm-hmm. But Chanterelle, the
mushroom,
the mushroom chick, she's very culty and naive, saying it's what they all want. They want to become vampires. But I mean, Buffy knows that that's not gonna happen, and they're all just gonna die. Through all this, Buffy still has time to make fun of Marvin Diego's outfit, which is great because he's wearing a very interesting blue cape.
No, I love it because she goes on like an angry rant and she's like, it's dangerous and it's this and you guys don't know what you're talking about. And my God, could you have a dorkier outfit? And I was like, I love how she had that moment
just
of like.
Just not skipping a beat there. And now it's going to be sunset. Spike and his minions are heading to the club and he's going to bring along Drusilla. All right, now we're going to get into the real nitty-gritty of this situation here. Ford and Buffy are going to have a very intense conversation up on the balcony in the underground club. Ford admits that everyone else is going to be killed, but he will be changed. And Buffy kind of just explaining to him that, okay, yes, you become a vampire, but you're not yourself anymore. The demon just kind of sets up shop. You look like you, you sound like you, but you're not you. Ford just doesn't care. He admits here that he's actually dying. He's got a bunch of tumors in his brain. He has 6 months to live.
I think aside from her little cousin, which we talk about later, like that death, I think this is the first time we see Buffy kind of faced with non-supernatural death, because you could see she turns around to cry. She doesn't really know how to react, because like Ford got angry. She's like, these people don't deserve to die, and he's like, neither do I. And so then he relayed all that stuff, and like she turned around, like she had to like process that news that this childhood like friend that she had, that she like cared about for so long, was like dying. So I don't know, it was a really good scene, a really intense one.
Yeah. But you also see Buffy's quick turn here of realizing, like, yes, this is sad, I'm sad for you. But also, like, this is mass murder. You're trading everyone's lives for your own. It's not the answer. And that he doesn't have any good options, but it's an option here.
Yeah, you don't have a good choice, but you have a choice.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't also say, I mean, I know they wouldn't include this in the episode necessarily, because it's not good dialogue, in my opinion, but, like, what did he think was gonna, like, I know the whole idea was, I trade you the Slayer, so ergo, the Slayer no longer exists. But, like, if she survived, but they still turned him, like, especially after, like, you know, when they found him, her and stuff, and, like, she was gone or whatever, it's like, you didn't think she's gonna come after and slay you? Like, okay, fine, even if she let you turn, for whatever reason, like, somebody, or, like, another Slayer's gonna get called, like, I don't know.
I do wanna touch on this at the end here, because I do have something to say regarding that. So okay. Let's hold that.
Okay.
So, they do.
Okay, Ruffy.
So,
Ruffy.
So Joss does do a good job at like quickly humanizing this character. Of you kind of do sympathize with him like in a very short little period of time. And one of Ford's like last little like humanizing lines here is he telling Buffy that he really did miss her. But then like quickly like hits her over the head and she falls down the stairs. I'm like, okay. Then the vampires are going to arrive. And Chanterelle, of course, the mushroom, is the first to approach the door to greet the vampires. Spike opens the door and she has instant regret. She's starting to realize that, oh,
they look scary.
The vamps are nice. And the vampires just immediately start feeding and spread out and just sucking on some nicks. Buffy knocks Ford out. And then Buffy quickly sees Drusilla and like jump, jump, jump. And like grabs her and puts a stake to her heart.
What? Wow. Jump, jump, jump. It was a really bad fly. She flew to Drusilla.
Oh,
oh my God. It was clearly like the strings. Like the, she goes whoosh straight into the
She's Ruffy.
Sorry, normally I gotta, she has a lot of those scenes, but because that one was so like,
oh, maybe I looked down,
funnily exaggerated kind of thing.
Okay, like how, I didn't pause it at that one.
No, it's not that. It's the fact that like normally I wouldn't like necessarily comment on like the stunt stuff because like it is what it is. It's like in the show made in like the late 90s or whatever. But like it was just funny because of how bad it was, considering it's like a really good episode. And you have like this cheesy, just takes you out of it. She's like, whoosh. Yeah, sorry, continue.
But yes, so Buffy has Drew with a stake to her heart. She tells Spike, either you let everyone go or I'm gonna kill Drusilla. So Spike quickly does let everyone go, and then Buffy runs away, shutting the door behind her and locking all the vamps inside.
All the vamps and Billy
Ford.
Billy Black Ford. Yeah,
he's in there with them. Then outside in the alley, everyone's running away, and Angel, Willow, and Xander arrive just in the nick of time.
Of course.
Not really. And Buffy says they can come back once the vamps are gone, and Xander asks, come back for what? And Buffy answers, for the body. To retrieve Billy Blackford's body. So back in the underground club, Billy Blackford awakens. And he wants his reward. He wants to become a vampire. He literally handed Buffy to Spike, which is true. And I guess Spike is just true to his word. And he does indeed change Ford into a vampire, which good for him. I don't know. I probably would have just killed him.
We're at the cemetery, and it looks like Ford has now been buried. And Buffy's at the cemetery with Giles. She ends up placing flowers on his grave.
Mm-hmm. It's nighttime. I do want to, like, mention here, I'm sorry, where is Billy Blackford's parents? Why is he being buried in Sunnydale? Because, like, realistically, if his body, if, like, this teenager died, he would have been, like, his body would have been transferred to, like, I don't know, L.A. with his parents and, like, buried there. And therefore, if he came back as a vampire, he could just go on his bloody life, you know?
Yeah.
But he rises in this grave right now in Sunnydale, and so therefore Buffy was able to slay him.
I don't know. So the,
like, who took over this fucking 16-year-old, 17-year-old child's body?
The only other thing I can, maybe like the dad or something actually did move. Like, do you know what I mean? Because I'm sure like his family knows about his like tumors and like what was killing him. Like, how did he also like as like a 16-year-old or 17-year-old boy just like travel by himself for weeks? Like, because he became part of the school.
Got on a bus. He didn't become part of the school at all.
I got
it. It was all fake.
No, yeah. No, that's true.
He's gone on a bus and
where was he staying? That's what I'm saying. Where was he staying? What job did he have? Where was he living? Like, at least we knew, like, Faith was, like, living in a motel and shit. Like, what job did he have? He was free when they wanted to hang out. He came to school during the day.
Yeah.
So, like, he was assimilated enough that if Willow didn't dig. Anyways, so the point is, like, maybe he just either, maybe he didn't have people, maybe he told his family he was leaving and visiting somebody and they didn't know.
So, but like, still, even after he died, they'd be told that he was dead. Notified. And he'd have to claim his body.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I think that's one little flaw there. They probably would not have been buried in the Sunnydale lot. But also Sunnydale does have a lot of cemeteries, so it is kind of convenient.
Yeah. Maybe it was just cheaper for them to, they're like, oh, he died here and he came to visit here. And I don't know.
We don't want to have to like transfer his body. Okay. Buffy and Giles are having this very fatherly conversation about life and growing up and Billy Ford Black and how Buffy thinks that Ford kind of made himself a villain in this whole scenario to make it easier on him, but actually he was just, you know, a scared teenage boy who was dying, which is kind of sad to hear that. It's probably very true.
Well, yeah, it's easier if she does hate him for him, I guess, because instead of, like, it would make it harder for him to, like, execute a mass murder plot, if you know what I mean. Somebody's being sympathetic and empathetic with him and trying to, like, still be like, oh, but I love you and you're an amazing person. It's like you feel shittier about doing all that stuff. But
this is very true.
But or I gotta say, I love this scene too, because just everything, like, because I always, like, as we're gonna go on, you'll see that I'll always parallel all the real life lessons that Joss puts into this show and all like the stuff. And one of the ones of like her saying, I'm still trying to work out like who to love, who to hate, who to trust. Like, this whole episode, right? Could she trust Angel? Could she trust Willow and Xander because she found out they went behind her back, but like for good reason? Billy Fordham, she didn't know if she could trust him. So like, I don't know, it's hard like growing up and being an adult because you think like certain friends are friends for life, certain people are your ride or dies, but then like so many things change drastically. And it's like, especially in her line of work, the people that you don't trust can be the thing that kills you. Like, I don't know, that's absurd to me, but.
And then, yes, at the end of this episode, Billy Black Ford bursts out of the ground of his grave. He's a vampire, and Buffy quickly dusts him. And we're going to have a new thing on the podcast where we say at the very end what our favorite quote is and our funniest quote is, or line from the episode. And mine happens to be, my favorite one happens to be the whole little speech that happens here at the end of this episode. So let's take a listen.
Lie to me.
Yes, it's terribly simple.
The good guys are always stalwart and true. The bad guys are easily distinguished by their pointy horns or black hats. And, we always defeat them and save the day. No one ever dies and everybody lives happily ever after.
Liar.
So my favorite line in this whole episode is when they're at the house and Angel and Buffy are talking about like Ford and what Angel found out, but also like the trust issues that Buffy was having with Angel, like also lying.
And don't lie to me, I'm tired of it.
Some lies are necessary.
For what?
Sometimes the truth is worse. You live long enough, you find that out.
I can take it. I can take the truth.
Do you love me?
What?
You.
I love you. I don't know if I trust you.
And my funniest line is Xander and Angel interaction. I just always find them hilarious. Let's take a listen.
He leaves no paper trail, no records. That's incriminating enough.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with dead boy in this one.
Could you not call me that?
And my funniest one is a little Willow and Xander moment when they're walking into like this bomb shelter club and Willow's just talking about sore thumbs and Xander's like looking at her and he responds.
Okay, but do they really stick out?
What?
Sore thumbs, do they stick out? I mean, have you ever seen a thumb and gone, wow, that baby is sore?
You have too many thoughts.
So, Tilda, how would you rate this episode?
I really, really like this episode, surprisingly enough. I would rate it 5 Ruffies out of 5 all-you-can-eat moron bars.
All right. Well, you really did like it, didn't you? We did have a similar rating. I give this 4 Ruffies out of 5 masturbations.
I knew masturbation was going to be your second one.
Masturbation.
Masturbation.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Fun episode. Good, emotional.
It's funny because you could tell the Joss ones. Mm-hmm. Like the double Joss ones, you could really like feel the difference.
There's a funny with the emotional drama. It's a nice balance. I love that kind of shit.
And he does a lot of little moments between his characters because he does the character development. Like you like the Angel and Xander. I like the Willow and Xander and like... I don't know. Overall, it was the emotion. It was the raw and realness because I feel like it prepares the show for the long term, like of all of the difficult decisions and things that Buffy has to face, like both in real life and with the supernatural. So I feel like this gets like the ball rolling a little bit and you just see, I don't know, like it was good to see a bit of Buffy's past, but then, you know, like just all the emotional turmoil having to do with that and Spike's always a good element.
Agreed. There's emotion, there's funny, there's the Spike and Drusilla, there's the, it's just like all the characters sprinkled in. We got a little bit of Giles and Jenny flirtation.
Some monster trucks.
Yes. Oh, it's just a monster of an episode. And the next episode we have is even more of a monster of an episode because we get into the nitty-gritty Rupert Ripper Giles passed.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited for that one.
Thanks for putting us in your ears and on your speakers, and we'll see you here y'all next time.
Goodbye.